Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is Reverend Frank Dorsey, in the Spirit of the Ministry of Word Evangelism. I'll pass the Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey. Thank you for joining in with us this morning. Thanking you for listening in today. We have come today to worship God in spirit and in truth. We just thank you and we just praise God this day. And we thank God for all things, because all things come from Him, and we just give him all the honor and all the glory. And we just praise and worship Him. And as we come this day, we just giving Him glory and thanking God for another day. We have another lesson today that we are going to focus our attention. Our attention will be focused on purpose. And we're looking at purpose. And we just thank God. We thank God for purpose. We think that He gave us purpose. And we thank God that He made it possible for us. As He gave us purpose, as He created us in His image, and we just praise and worship Him. Thanking God for another day. And we just come today in thanksgiving and praise and thanking God for another glorious day. And we just give Him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise as we come today at broadcasting here at In His Presence Ministry Word Evangelism. We thank God. We thank God for all He's doing in our lives. We thank for all He's doing in the lives of the believers. And we give Him all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And once again, as we come today, we're looking at purpose. And we come to that conclusion as we stop and look at what's going on in our lives. We just praise Him and we worship Him. And as we come today praising and worshiping Him, we come today to focus on God and His creation. God created us with purpose. He created us with purpose. And He put purpose in our heart, and we just thank Him for that. We praise and worship Him for that. We thank Him for putting purpose in our heart. And as we come, we're going to focus our attention. Our attention is going to be focused on in the beginning, Genesis, in the beginning. And we need to go there. We need to go there because sometime when we come, we hear people speak about us. We hear all kinds of different things about God's purpose in our lives and why God put purpose in our lives. And we focus a lot of attention on looking at careers and jobs and finances and all these other things that are tangible. Things that we can touch, things that we can see. But then when it comes to God's purpose, we also look at God's will, what God wants in our lives, and God's purpose. As we look at what He wants and His purpose. And we thank God that He has put this purpose in our lives. And we must understand it as we come to look at it in Genesis. We'll find in Genesis, as we turn there, we'll see something happening in our lives. God creates. And as I said earlier, He creates with purpose. He creates with purpose. God creates mankind with purpose. And it's not something that we can just up and just focus our attention on one thing. I get up and I stop and I ask myself a question, why do I exist? Why do I exist? Then I ask myself, what is my purpose? Why do I exist on this big earth as a man on earth? Why do you exist on this earth? And sometimes we ask ourselves that question. And that question demands an answer. And so sometimes we will stop and look at that, because sometimes we will stop and we will ask the question, but we never answer the question. Who am I? Why do I exist? What is my purpose? What direction my life is going in? And as we go through life, this is a constant reminder. It's there. It's put there. It's put in us. And it's part of being human.
purpose is part of being human, because when we keep it at a physical or natural level, we'll come and we'll ask that question, but we never will get an answer. And we find ourselves always seeking and looking, but never getting an answer to that question about our purpose here, our purpose in life. And so when we go back, to Genesis, we'll see it. And we'll see it because in Genesis it let us know that. And so as we come to study this lesson, let's keep that in mind. Because what I see here in Genesis, God created male and female, and he created them for purpose. And when he created them for purpose, he does this. And he let us know that he have us here for a reason. He have us here for a reason. And so once we go into Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis 1:28, let's take a look at that. Very closely, very, very closely. Let's look at that. Because when we come there, in 1:26, it states that God said, let us make man. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. But let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the bird, over the air, and over the cattle. And it goes on to say that he's going to create man in his image. In verse 27, so God created in his own image, the image of God, he created male and female. He created them. And then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In this passage of Scripture, we are looking at man's intrinsic worth. We are looking at man's intrinsic worth. And so as we look at his intrinsic worth, he is telling us that we are worthwhile. That he created us with worth. He created us with purpose. He created us with purpose and worth. And so as we stop and look, let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind. Because what happens is that sometime when we stop and we look at it, we'll find ourselves thinking that I'm just here because I have this fine career and everything. And so we have this career, and I'm going to make all this money, and I'm going to do all these things because I have purpose. And so God created us with worth. He created us with worth. And so we must keep this in mind, because when we stop and look at this, we'll find ourselves seeing what God created us for. He created us with worth. And out of this worth, we'll find this purpose that he's put into us. He put it into us with purpose. God creates. And as we stop and look at it, we'll find that he created us with purpose. And so when we look at this worth, because God sees us as worthwhile. He sees us as worthwhile. Everybody. And once we stop and look at this, we'll wonder, what is purpose? What is our purpose? And why are we here? And sometimes we'll stop and we'll make judgment calls on people. We'll start getting judgmental and start making judgment calls on people. And once we start making judgment calls, we'll start saying things about what people are doing and what's going on in their lives. And so there are some people that are always questioning themselves why they're here. What's going on in their lives? And so as we stop and look at this, let's keep this in mind, because we must look at this very closely. And so when we look at this very closely, and we're going to look at it closely, and once we look at this, we're going to come to understand what the purpose is. We're going to come to understand what the purpose is. And so as we stop and look at this, let's look very closely at what's going on here. When God created, he created. And so that tells me that he saw me as worthwhile. Not only did he saw me as worthwhile, he did something else. He saw me as worthwhile. He gave me determination. He gave me determination. Man is distinct from the rest of creation. we must stop and keep this in mind, because he made it sure that we are distinct. We are distinct. We are distinct from the rest of creation. The divine triune council determined that man was to have God's image and likeness. Man is a spiritual being. You've heard me say this before, who is not only body, but the soul and spirit. He is a moral being whose intelligence, perception, and self-determination far exceed that of any earthly being. And we must keep that in mind, because when we're dealing with mankind, we'll find that this is what we're going to find. We're going to find that man, if we can look at all the other earthly beings, and we'll find that mankind is distinctly different. He's different. He's entirely different. She's entirely different from any other earthly being. We live in a society that try to group everything together. And we try to group everything together by making it like man is this and he is that, and we can make him like any other animal. We've talked about this before. But, and we talk about as far as making man like some other creature, some other earthly creature. Paul spoke about it in Romans chapter 1. He made it very clear that we find man worshiping the creature instead of the creator. So what happens is that we find that when God created man, he created man entirely different from any of the other earthly creatures. I don't care if it's an ape, a dog, a cat, a fish, a porpoise, or whatever. Man is entirely different, because we have established the fact that he is a spiritual being. Mankind, when we talk about mankind, using that in a sense, in a neutral sense, male and female, he give us self-determination. He give us perception. And that's what we must look at when we say when God gave us perception, he gave us perception, he made us entirely different. He made us entirely different. And so as we stop and look at this with self-determination, he made us entirely different from any other earthly being. And so as we come, he gave us self-determination. Self-determination, I make choices. I have the ability to choose. I have ability to look at things from different perspectives and perceptions with intelligence and self-determination. And then I also have this intrinsic worth, and it's also I have capacity as well, which constitutes accountability and responsibility. You don't find no other animal with capacity. You know, sometimes we say we have a very intelligent dog that can do so many things, but yet still that dog doesn't have capacity. If you don't believe me, I might do something today, but that dog can sit there and have that executive ability to stop and reason and have capacity to make decisions and problem solve. We may have some little small thing that we can get them to do. We can have something to do, get other animals to do, but they don't have that capacity to come back and do things. Because when it comes to God creation, God created mankind with purpose. He created them with purpose. So when we hear people talk about this, let's stop and think. Because you'll come across a number of people will come and they will tell you different things about your purpose. And somebody's always telling you about your purpose in life. Have you ever noticed that we come across people, they're always telling you about your purpose? They're never talking about their purpose. They're talking about your purpose. And I always wonder, how does somebody know what my purpose is? And that's what gets me. How does somebody know? How will somebody come up and know what is my purpose in life? What is my purpose in life? Because you can't tell me, I don't think you can really tell me what my purpose is. If that were the case, we could tell our children what their purpose is in life. We'll know right off the bat, once they're born, that this is your purpose. This is your destiny. This is what is laid before you. No, because throughout life, we are constantly making choices. Have you ever met any person that comes and have already made that decision for their children, what their life is going to be? I don't think that we do that. Because most of us made a decision about what our careers were going to be, how we looked at it, and how God took us through different areas. And once we came to a career, once we came to a decision of what we're going to do, and some things that we did, we took different paths, and some things that we came across that wasn't even in, was along the way, wasn't even part of the purpose. Because we have to look at this from a natural as well as a spiritual, and when we look at it through the natural, when people come and talking to us in the natural, this is what they'll tell us. This is what they'll tell us. They'll tell us that you got to have this purpose, and this is what you're going to do. And so what happened is we find ourselves trying to fit into the mold what somebody else has put us into. And once we come up here trying to fit into that mold, then what happened is that we end up getting false information. And so we'll find ourselves getting caught up into all kinds of things. We'll find ourselves getting caught up into different things and different situations. And so as we stop and look at this, let's keep this in mind, because we'll find some people will try to tell you what to do and how to live your life. And I think that's what we're looking at. And I'm trying to clarify this and trying to get it in perspective, because I want you to stop and look at it, because we're going to run across people. We're going to come across people, and they are going to stop, and they write books about it, and they're going to tell us what our purpose is. They're going to tell us, tell us what we can do and how to do things. But we're going to look at purpose from God's perspective. From God's perspective, we must look at it through God, through the eyes of God, because God is in charge, and He's in control of everything. So if God is in control of everything, then God have placed purpose in the heart of man. God placed eternity in the heart of man. When God created Adam and Eve, He placed eternity in their heart. God created them for eternity. But there was a fall, and Jesus Christ came and reconciled mankind back to Himself. And when we follow Christ Jesus, we come back, and we come back in relationship with God, and we have a relationship with them. And through Christ Jesus, we have a relationship, so now we have that purpose that was in the beginning. And I think sometimes we'll miss out on it because we get so caught up into trying to fix things that will fit in a way that it will come and fit to at a point where it can, where we can have this purpose that we talk about when it comes to our day-to-day life. And, you know, I always stop and think about it. All the years that I worked on my job and my profession, then all of a sudden you come and you retire. And once you retire, you get to that point, you wake up one day and you realize that you've achieved a lot of things over the years in work. And then you've also realized something, that your identity and your purpose was centered around what you were doing on your job. Your job gave you purpose. Your job gave you identity. Your job gave you power, prestige, and recognition. And now you don't have it. Sometimes people will retire and get sad, get depressed, and wonder. And sometimes people just slowly move into the background, and just like they gotta have a mentality that there's nothing left to do. There's nothing left for me to do. And so you'll find people getting sad, getting depressed, and they're going through a time when, like, they have no purpose whatsoever. I have no purpose. I have no purpose, so I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do. And so what happens is you find people are struggling with day-to-day life, not looking to Christ Jesus. Because when we go to Scripture, the Scripture tells us about Adam. See, the man Adam, the fleshly Adam, the natural man Adam, You know, he falls, sins comes into the world. But then we see the spiritual man, Jesus Christ, who goes to the cross and he puts sin to death. He abolishes sin. Sin comes through Adam, abolished. Death is abolished by Christ Jesus. And so we come and you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Because it tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So whosoever believe in him, that's where we start. Whosoever believe in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Jesus said to Nicodemus that you must be born again. And so what happened is, that's where it starts, rebirth. So when we started rebirth, then we enter back into a relationship with God. We have peace with God. Romans 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to tell you that we have peace with God. Jesus Christ have made it possible that we have peace with God, a peace bond. And now we have this relationship with him. We have a relationship with God. We back. And it's through the blood of Jesus. Romans 5, 1 makes it very clear. And so we see it right there. We see the peace. And sometimes we hear about the peace and we sit and we look at it and we stop and we think about, you know, this purpose. Go to Romans 5:1, you'll see there. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace. We have gained access by faith unto his grace, in which we now stand. See, at first we were enemies. Now we have access. We have this grace, and now we stand in it, and we operate in it, and it's through the blood of Christ Jesus. And when we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our heart by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And then he goes on to say, and you see, at just the right time, when we're still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So when Christ died for us and brought us back in right relationship with God, establishing this peace bond, we are not at peace with God, which may differ from peaceful feelings such as calmness and tranquility. We ain't talking about calmness and tranquility, but we are at peace with God. Peace with God means that we have been reconciled with him. There's no more hostility between us. See, watch with this peace with God. There's no more hostility with us. We were hostile. We were against God at one time. So when you start talking purpose, don't try to focus on what you got to do today. Let's get the total picture, the big picture. Because at one time we were hostile. Peace with God means that we have been reconciled with God. There's no more hostility between us, no sin blocking our relationship with him. Peace with God is possible only because Jesus paid the price for our sin through his death on the cross. And that's what we're looking at. That's what we're looking at. Christ, and he brought us back and he reconciled us and brought us back in relationship with God, abolished death. And so now we are back at that point where we can stop and we look. We depend on God. We become dependent on God. We are dependent on God. So when someone come and talk to you about purpose and come and speaking to you about your purpose and trying to sell you the book and everything else about your purpose and how God purposed this in your life and purposed that in your life, nobody can tell you this, because who has the mind of God? Who can counsel God? See, if that's the case, you got a mere man telling you what your purpose is. Christ Jesus came, and he did it, and he brought us back in relationship with him. So what is the purpose then? Because if that's the case, then we will be here trying to figure this out. Well, what's the case? So as we come, let's look at it very closely. When we look at this, we find ourselves at a point. God purpose, God created humanity with purpose. We said Genesis 1:26 and 28. We went to Romans, And then we'll find ourselves at a point we have to make a choice. See, once Christ have reconciled us back, he reconciled the whole world. He entered into the holiest of holies and sprinkled his precious blood once and for all. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to be saved. That means that he shed his blood for the whole world, for God so loved the whole world. But he said, here's the catch, whosoever believe in him. See, and sometimes we find people teaching that theology that everybody's, no, everybody's not saved. You must believe in him. Whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we come to him by faith. We come to him by faith. We believe that he is who he is. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he was crucified, buried, raised from the dead, and we believe that he is the Son of God, and that he shed his precious blood for the remission of our sin. He brought us back in relationship with God. We believe this, and then we can come to God and cry to him, Abba, Father, and we become children in the household of God. We belong to God. We belong to God. If we belong to God, then he knows all things, so he knows what the purpose is. And it's not a blind thing that we operate in blind faith, because he gave us his word. He sent his son, and he gave us his word. John said, in the beginning was the word, so he gave us the word, and the word became flesh. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. He gave us the word. He gave us the instructions. He shows us how to live this life. He gives us the Old Testament illustration and New Testament application as we come, and he teaches us and he shows us how to live out this life with purpose. It comes from God. He didn't leave us in the dark. He didn't leave us in the wilderness. He didn't leave us all by ourselves. And he said, well, Lord, what's my purpose here on earth? Because he made it very clear to us. He showed us what to do and told us what to do and how to do it. He made it possible. And he made it possible for all mankind. As you come and surrender your life and give your life to Christ Jesus, then God comes and Romans here, he said the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, watch what he say about the Holy Spirit. And hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love into our heart by the Holy Spirit he has given us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Verse number 5. So we find here that all three members of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because they come from God in and through Christ Jesus by the Spirit, are involved in our salvation, our rebirth. God loves us so much that he sent his Son to bridge the gap between us. John 3:16, and the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit to fill our lives with love and to enable us to live by his power. Acts 1:8. And then with all this loving care, how can we do less than serve him completely? Call us out to serve him. To serve him completely. We talked about commitment. We looked at commitment. This is what we're talking about. This is the purpose. Somebody said, I thought this was my job. I thought this was my career. I thought it was about getting all the things around me and all the everything in order. Have you ever noticed that we never get it all in order? We never get it all in order. One day we wake up, we're here. Next day we wake up, we're there. We got this going on in our lives. We got that going on in our lives. We're always faced with different problems and different situations. Paul tells us, he said what? He was delivered over to death for our sin, also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. So as he's developing us and as he's taking us through, he never said that we were not going to have any suffering. That's why day to day we have different things going on in our lives. Day to day, not only just sickness, but you've got other stuff. When you talk about suffering, you talk about different things that go on in our lives on a day-to-day basis, with all the temptation and everything else that goes along with it. But we have this relationship with God. We trust him. We depend on him. We surrender our life and our will to him. Once we surrender our life and our will to him, then he sends the Holy Spirit to guide us, to enable us, to help us. He fills us with his Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach us. He teaches us. He shows us the way, and he leads us. We must be in total commitment and total surrender and following Christ Jesus. Following, he said, follow me. He called you. He called me. He called you to follow him. He said, follow me. Follow me. And as he said, follow me, he gave us that purpose. He told us what he wanted us to do. He said, follow me. Follow me. And the question is, once we get up, I think when we get up, we must keep this in mind, because sometimes we think that follow me, he's just talking to the disciples in the New Testament, but he's speaking to us. We are his disciples. We follow him. We follow the word. We live according to the word. And the word give us purpose. The word give us safety. The word give us security. But the word give us our identity. Who am I? My life is in Christ Jesus. I belong to God. And then, what is my purpose? And God has put purpose into my heart. He's put purpose into my life. And so what happens is we find this, we come to understand about the safety and security that we have in Christ Jesus. And it's not something that we just come up and one day and we find somebody in a book, writing a book, another book, to tell us what's going on in our lives, because I'm accepted by Christ Jesus. And we look at John 1:12, he tells us that I'm God's child, and then I'm accepted by Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, I'm united with God and one with his Spirit, and I'm secure in Christ Jesus. I'm free from condemnation. Romans 8:1-2 and Romans 8:35 tell me that I cannot be separated from God. I'm secure in Christ. So I'm accepted, I'm secure in Christ, and I'm significant in Christ. I'm significant because I have purpose. I'm significant. Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells us I'm the salt and light of all the earth. Matthew 5:13-14. And then he tells us, John 15:16, I've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. And Act 1:8, I am a personal witness of Christ, and is given that by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's purpose. That's purpose. And then he gives us everything. Yes, he gives to us, but we put him first. God is first. Purpose, God first. Are we putting God first? We put God first in everything we do, because God is in control of everything. Putting God first. And as we find in the Old Testament, there's Joshua, and Joshua is speaking to us. And Joshua have just become to a point where they crossed over, and they have given up all of the inheritance. And see, we have an inheritance too. We have to be real careful with this. And the inheritance, and Joshua is there, and Joshua makes a statement. Watch what's going on. It's very familiar, because we're all familiar with it. In Joshua 24:15, we'll find Joshua speaking to us, and as he speak to the people, Joshua called all the tribes together, and he's bringing them together, and he speaks to them, and he talks to them in this last sermon, like that he goes with them, that he goes over with them. Joshua 24:14, and as he speak, he said these words, 24:14. You see. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. He tells them to put away all of those false idols. And he tells us, see, and so when we start looking at purpose, we have to go there. We must go there. We must go there. He tells them to fear God. And then he talked about sincerity, and then he told them to put away the idols, and he told them to serve God. Serve God. God created us with purpose. He created us to serve. To serve him. For service. Somebody say service? Yes, service. He created us for service. He says, serve God. And, you know, sometimes when we stop and look at this, we'll stop and we'll look at it and we say, did he say service? Yes. To serve God. To serve God. He created us to serve. Jesus said he came to serve and not to be served. So sometimes when we stop and we look at what Jesus said, we must understand that. If Jesus said he came to serve and not to be served, then he is the perfect example. He is the perfect example when it comes to life's purpose. To serve. And I know sometimes we'll come, we'll see this thing, we'll say, to serve, we're going to serve. I'll serve him to the day I die. But yet and still, he's saying, not with lip service, but to serve others. Put God first. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hands, all the laws and the prophet. And that is what he's telling us. Jesus said, follow me and serve. Love God, love neighbor. Love enemies. And it's all, and the motivation is love. It's all centered around love. He said, serve. And that's what he told them, and that's what he said. Now we must look at that, because what happened here, he is saying that we serve. We look at service, and we must look at that service, because that is what he's telling us. He's telling us to serve God. Because here Joshua he points it out that we put away idol gods. John tells us to put away the idols. And sometimes we come through life, we say, I have idols. Now, most of us will say no. We'll sit and watch television, we'll watch these movies, and we'll watch this stuff, and the people come up to these titles, and they say, well, that's just a show. But no, we're not talking about this stuff that we watch on television, which is the distraction a lot of it is, but he said, you have to put away the idols in your house. What are some of the idols that you have? And I don't know your idols, you know, and you don't know mine, but something. And we all have something. We have something that gets our attention more than God gets the attention. And then what happened? Do we bow down and worship him? Somebody said, I don't really bow down and worship him, but yet and still, watch the things that you put out there, the things that are more important. I was sitting in my office one day, and I was sitting, and we was there, and we was getting ready to have a group session, and I was sitting there, and I was really struggling. I was really struggling, and as I was sitting there struggling, I was trying to figure out what we talk about in group today, because I was trying to come up with a plan of what are we going to talk about today. And all of a sudden, I sit back, and I went into my place of prayer, and I was in there praying, and all of a sudden, it came to me. This is what we'll do. Go out and I wrote it on the board and never erased it. To the day I left, retired, I never erased it. I left it on the board. Sometime I'll come back and I was trying to dress it up a little bit. And I had this board. It was on one of these dry mark erasers, those type boards. And I had on that board. And the first question was, what's most important? What are my choices? Who is responsible? You know? And I asked the question. And so what impact would I have on? So I was looking at talking with them, and I left it there for years because it was something that I could talk about all the time. When people came into the office with problems and things, we'd sit and talk. And one of the things is, what is most important? And I was working in the field of addiction, and a lot of times people would come in and they would tell me what's most important to them was their family. And that was a good answer. But if you really stop and we talked about it, it was not the answer. Because the next question we look at is, what is it costing and what's the benefit of you having this relationship with this addiction that you have, this idol, this addiction? Whether it's food, whether it's sex, whether it's money, whether it's power, whether it's control. Because these are very addictive and they can be idols. Sometimes we see idols, we sit down, we'll look at it, we start thinking about, oh, the preacher is talking about some idol god that, you know, they got in the corner, some statue. Some people still have those things too. And some talisman or something like that. No, some people still have that too. But the thing about it is, you have to look at the idols that we have in our lives. Sometimes we have idols, we got idols, and we idolize. It can be job, it can be power, it can be prestige, it can be recognition, it can be a number of things that comes up in our lives. And he said, get rid of the idols. And that's what he, that's what Joshua was telling. And that's what John said when he ended his epistle in the second, third epistle. And he said, told us to get rid of the idols. Get rid of the idols. And we need to check out, and we need to check and see what are some of the idols that we have in our lives. What are some of the idols that we are worshiping? And as we look there, we'll find that there will be idols, and we have idols, and some of us don't want to look at those idols that we're looking at, that we have, that those idols that we have in our lives. Joshua spoke about service of God, and this is the purpose. This is life purpose. Life purpose, the service of God. Joshua tells them, Joshua said to them, that you've got to put away those idols. Put away those idols and serve God. That's the question. Here's the question. Putting God first, what's most important? And we have to really examine our lives, because if we're going to live a life with purpose, we must examine our lives. What are we worshiping? What's most important? If we live in life with purpose, sometimes we'll come and somebody will tell us all of this nice stuff. And because once we start to hear this nice stuff, we start talking about our purpose is this, and then they'll tell you what your destiny is and what your purpose and your destiny that God has given you, and you start talking about your prosperity and your success. And the reason why you're not having this, and they'll throw this one on you right quick. Sometimes we don't know, because the simple fact is what? Maybe we're doing something wrong. And they give you the formula. And then they give you the facts. And then they put the fear on you. And then what happened is they become very pharisaic, and they use force. Be real careful with that. Force, facts, fear, and formulas. Talking about destiny, talking about purpose, talking about what God have done in your life and what he have put into your life, and he put this purpose in your life. And we'll sit there and we'll hear it, and all of a sudden it's just like, whoa, if I do this, I'm going to, and we'll walk out and we say, I'm going to be successful. Because the Bible said it. But Joshua, when God speaks to Joshua, he tells him to be strong and be courageous and be of good courage and be stronger. He told him to do what? He told him to meditate on the word day and night. He pointed to the word. He told Joshua to, and he told him not to turn from the book of the law, was Moses, the book on, he studied under Moses day and night. He said, look to the word. And that's what Joshua had. Joshua didn't have the New Testament. But God is speaking to him, telling him to meditate on the law of Moses, the book of Moses, day and night. And he told him not to deviate from it, from the left or the right. But then he told him that he will prosper and be successful. That's how he told him for success. How you going to prosper? How you going to have success? People tell you all these formulas and facts how to be successful. And then what happens is it's the word. He tells Joshua, God tells Joshua, if you be strong and be of good courage. He said that he'll never leave him or forsake him. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And then Joshua come back and tell his people to put away those false idols. Put away the false idols. He tell them to put away the false idols. He said, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whom you will serve. That's what he said. Choose whom this day whom you will serve. Whether the God which you, your father served that was on the other side of the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, when we get up, we need to make this decision. Who are we going to serve? So I'm going to put away idols. If we need to make this decision on who we are going to serve. Who are you going to serve? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The people is here in Joshua. He is telling them, fear the Lord, reverence and respect towards one who loves but also just. Fear the Lord, reverence and respect towards one who loves but also just. And so if he's telling him, see, God is just, and so we revere him, we respect him, and he tell him seven times, they asked about, Joshua used serve. And he used it seven times to serve. And he's telling us there, it means to give our allegiance exclusively. Now, here it is. Give your allegiance exclusively to God. Now, I know that we can come, and I've done it because I was in the military, and we pledge allegiance to the flag. We pledge allegiance to the country. We make pledges. We swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Well, Romans 13 tells us this. And he tell us that our allegiance is to the country, that we come, we defend it, and we pledge allegiance to it. Pledge allegiance to it. 4th of July is coming up, Independence Day, we pledge allegiance to the flag, but yet and still, and Romans 13 tells us to obey the law of the land, and that is a different allegiance, because when we come and we talk about the allegiance to the flag and supporting the country and pledge, we are called by God to do that. That's the word of God. Somebody said, well, he just said to listen to the flag. Read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Because when it comes to Romans chapter 13, take a look at it, what Paul is speaking to us in Romans 13. And we pledge allegiance. But it's ordained by God. Now if God didn't say it, I think we have to do something else. He said, let every soul be subject to the government authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are appointed by God. So don't confuse that. Don't confuse that. Somebody said, what about when you pledge allegiance to the flag? What about when you join the military and you swear to defend the Constitution? Romans 13:1. That does not supersede my allegiance to God, because God is almighty, all powerful, sovereign God. And he said, and God have authority over the governments. And see, that's where we make the mistakes. And that's another topic to talk about, because that is where we make the mistake. We started making a mistake, because we think the government have all the authority. Watch what he said here in Romans. He told us in Romans what that last part that I leave with you. I left that part where he tells us who has the authority. That every soul be subject to the governing authority. That's the United States government. But there is no authority except from God. God give all authority except from God. And the authority that exists are appointed by God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Here, Paul does not suggest that God approve or correct government, ungodly officials, or unjust legal legislation. And so let's keep this in mind, because sometimes, however, in punishment for the sins of a people or other reason known to him, God allows evil rulers to have authority for a time. So if you're worried about these evil rulers, God is in control. And that's why we keep pointing back. We keep pointing to Christ Jesus, because God is the ultimate authority. Putting God first, what's most important? When we spoke about commitment, we mentioned this a number of times. It gets back to that commitment, that surrender, that letting go, and putting God first. Joshua put us to the, and he said, and it seemed evil to you to serve the Lord. Choose yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father serve were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorite, or whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So we see here Joshua let us know he's going to serve the Lord. My allegiance is to the Lord. My allegiance is to Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm a bondservant. Somebody said, what's a bondservant? A slave? A bondservant. I thought the Bible said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Yes. But the bondservant chooses to serve. Go back to the Old Testament. You set him free. But he have a choice. He can still serve. If he stay in the house and serve, he's still the bondservant. He's still to serve. He's free. But his allegiance is to the master. But he serves out of allegiance, out of love. That's why Paul can say that I'm a bondservant, and he calls himself a bondservant. Are you a bondservant? Are you willing to serve? We choose this day. And as we choose this day, we come to serve. Jesus said to serve and not to be served, and that's his purpose. Told Joshua, you have success. Watch how he told Joshua he had success. Since we're in Joshua, let's take a look at it. While we're in Joshua, he tells him, he makes it very clear to him, Joshua 1:9. This is that passage of scripture that I always reflect back on when I'm thinking about doing the work of the Lord. God tells them twice. It's after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, and the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go and bring this Jordan, and you and all the people of the land which I'm giving to you, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I've given you, as I said to Moses. Then he comes down, as we drop down to verse number 6. That's 1:6. Be strong, Joshua 1:6. Be strong and of good courage, for no people in this land shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to his father to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, for that you may observe and do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not notice that Moses commanded them. All the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have prosper and wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's telling them to be strong. He's telling them over and over to be strong. He's telling us that be strong. Be strong. Be courageous. Be valiant. Be manly, strengthened, established, firm, fortified. He's telling us to be strong. Be strong. And then we also find this word used to encourage. When David encouraged himself, literally made himself strong in the Lord, in Samuel 36. Now, he's talking about being strong in the Lord, being strengthened. And so as we look at this word in the Hebrew, it means being strengthened. And he's telling them that he'll have success. It's the word. And Joshua say his allegiance. What is allegiance? His allegiance to God. Putting God first. Loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Coming to serve. Life purpose. Somebody say, I really thought it was about that job I have, my degree. I always tell you to put everything, every gift, every talent, everything God has given to you, look to the cross. Put it on the horizontal beam. The vertical beam is transcendent. It points to Jesus. It points to God Almighty. God is God on the vertical beam. It points all the way. It points to God. It points to God. Pointing to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And as we come and we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus, and as we focus our attention here, that allegiance Joshua was speaking about, that allegiance is to God Almighty. And he told us today that we have to choose for yourself, and you have to make that choice. We got to make that choice today, because we're talking about purpose. We have to choose who we're going to serve, because he believed that there was two options for God's from God's perspective. So this is what Joshua was telling us. Choose for yourself. There's two options. two options from God's perspective. So doing so will offend the opportunity to affirm his own loyalty to God and urge a similar response for the people, because he believed that these two options, he told us to fear God and choose for ourselves. These are the two options. Fear God, give reverence to him, respect, reverence, because he's just, and choose to serve. Now, that is purpose. That is what we're talking about when we're talking about purpose. So when we're talking about this purpose, that's what we're talking about. Because it's not about that all that stuff that I put on the horizontal beam. It's not about that degree, that job, that house, that everything that I put on that heart. All those talents that we have that God gives us, he gave it to us for a purpose. It's for God's purpose. Somebody said, I thought he gave me all these degrees for my purpose, that I can be well known throughout the world as a great scientist, as a great mathematician, as a great this, and, you know, for recognition, for power. No. He gave you the talents and gift for his glory. Other people benefits, but yet and still it's for his glory. And once we get that mindset that everything he gives us is for his glory, because everything's come from him. First, you have to put it in perspective that everything comes from God. Everything. He is the source of everything. So we come to serve him. Joshua said he has the choice, has to make that choice. And here's the question. What is my choice? Remember I said the other one is what's most important? But they asked ourselves that question, what's most important? The other one was, what is my choice? I told you I got this revelation sitting in an area where I prayed. And it came to me. I was on a day I was working, and I was like, well, you know, what am I going to do today different? What's most important? What is my choice? And Joshua says, choose this day. Choose this day. You have to make that choice. And these are the two options. Fear God and choose. So he gave us the two options. And then we go from there. We also look in that life purpose and come to God created humanity with purpose. It's not about what? Power, prestige, and recognition. He told Joshua he'll have success. He assured Joshua he's going to have success. You're going to have success. You're going to have success. But he comes back and he let him know what he must do. This is no formula, no fact. Meditate on the word day and night. Just stay focused . Don't waver to the left or to the right. It's the word of God, a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path, the word. And as he comes and he assures us, and then he let us know in this purpose, seeking God's kingdom. And that's what Jesus is telling us about worrying. And he's telling us to put God first. Even in Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us to put God first. On purpose? That's purpose. Putting God first. It's always about putting God first and doing what? And serving. Serving and putting God first. Serving and putting God first. Serving others. It's not a selfish thing. It's not selfish. And this is not grievous. It's not hard. It's not something that you got to have a formula. You do this, do this, do that, do this. But we have this mindset and that we've been conditioned. We've been conditioned to it throughout our whole life. We've been conditioned to it. Because when we get up and when we're growing up and we go to off at home, we with our family, they're working with us, and little children, they send us to school, and we're in school, we hear about it, and we talk about getting the kids ready for this and this. Have you ever stopped and look at how they're getting the kids ready for this and that and this and this? And they get all these other things we get the kids, children ready for in society. And by that time, they get impacted by the church. And the church comes and impacts it. And then what happens, we got the family, we got the church, we got the school, then they have society. They leave, they go out, go off to college and society impact. But most of the time when you hear it, it's focusing on achieving different things. And then we have some of the churches that will come and blend it right in, and it's about achieving different things, purpose and goal. And when we see it, it looks like, wow, all of this has overlapped. But very seldom you'll hear someone tell you to put God first in everything you do. If you put God first in the home, put God first in the school, put God first in the church, put God first when you go into society, in the colleges and everything else, all this stuff will fall in place, and you'll have success. Nobody never say that. We live in a world system that tells us not to talk about God, not to talk about the Bible, not to pray, and all kind of things. And then they come and they put us against each other. They put different religions against each other, you know. And we come and we start fighting among each other, getting caught up into denominationalism and the schisms. Schism and the denominationalism, not looking at we put God first. Put God first. Joshua tells the people, here are the two options. Fear God and put him first. Give reverence to God and put him first. Jesus come back and tell us not to be worrying about all the food we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. He tell us about this. Somebody said, what is Jesus telling us? He telling us to put God first. Put him first. Because when it comes to Matthew 6:33, he tells us that. He let us know that we put God first. And as we put God first, then he said what? He said all these other things will be added to it. What is he telling us here? Did you see all that other stuff that we be focusing on? That people tell us about all the time, different things, all we tell us about. And so we find ourselves focusing on all this stuff, putting God second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth in our lives are completely out of the picture. And we wonder why we are here struggling, trying to hold things together ourselves. In Romans, he told us that we have access and that he gave us the Holy Spirit while we were yet sinners. Christ Jesus died for us. He brought us back in peace with God. We have this relationship with him. Did we put him first? Matthew 6:33. When we go to Matthew 6:33, let's take a look at that. Before we go to Matthew 6:33, let's look at what Ephesians 1:11 say. I'm reading from the Message Bible. He said, it is in Christ that we find out who we are. This is from the Message Bible. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. I don't think too many people tell us that. And that's coming from the Message Bible. That's coming from Ephesians 1:11. And when we read it in the King James Version, when we read it in the NIV, let's read it in the NIV, that same passage of Scripture, because it's saying the same thing. It's saying the same thing, nothing different, but I'm just going to read it because most of the time we read it out of the NIV or we'll read it out of the King James or the New King James. But if we read it very closely, take a very close look at what it says. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. The purpose of his will. And so as we look here in the Message Bible, he tells us this. He tells us in the Message Bible, it is in Christ that we will find out, who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ, he had his eyes on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. That is the Message Bible. I'm going to read it to you out of the NIV. Listen to what it said. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. That's where it stopped there. That's right there. I'm not going to take it any further. 1:11, the purpose of his will. And then when it comes down to it, God's purpose, watch the purpose, God's purpose is to offer salvation to the world, just as he planned to do long ago. And that was his purpose when he created man. God is sovereign. He is in charge. And when your life seems chaotic, rest in this truth. Jesus is Lord and God is in control. Jesus is Lord and God is in control. When everything is God, it's chaotic. Jesus is Lord and God is in control. God is in control. If we can rest in that truth, God is sovereign. He is always in charge. And he's in control. God's purpose was to save, or God's purpose to save you and I cannot be thwarted, no matter what the evil Satan may bring. We belong to God. Jesus is Lord, and God is in control. And that is what he's telling us. We surrender our lives and our will to him. So we don't sit there and be rational about this, because people don't wrote books on it, and books after books, and preachers stand before you and will tell you that God put purpose in you and put purpose in you and never stop to tell you what the purpose God put into you. God is in control. Jesus is Lord. He is in control of everything, no matter what Satan bringing us, no matter what the world bringing us at us. God is in control. We trust him. Blessed is the man who put his trust in the Lord. Who trusts is the Lord. God is in control. And so when we start looking at this purpose, Joshua has already told us, he's already reminded us, and then he reminded us that we're going to have to make his choice, what's most important. Always come back around the most important. Ephesians 1:1 tells us in the Message Bible, and I just read it to you in the NIV, and I can read it to you again in the King James, which is going to be all say the same thing, but just different translation. And as we stop and look at it, and as we look at it, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. It's all in Christ. From the Father, in and through Christ Jesus, by the Spirit. So don't sit there and be wrestling with 20,000 ideas about what my purpose is here. Because what we do sometimes, like I said, after working all these years, you stop and you look at your job and you look at your degrees and you look at all of your accomplishments and all of the appreciation levels that people have given you and everything, and you're sitting on your chair or in your couch or you're out cutting your grass, then you start looking at back at your life and you say, wow, this is it. Are your health thoughts are failing, or there's some suffering, or there's some shortcomings coming, and the bills are due, and there's adversity, and you're sitting there, and you're in the struggle. And you say, I worked all my life, and this is it. I tell people all the time, I used to sit in counseling, mental health, and addiction, and mental health. People will come and sit before me, and they can't answer these questions. Watch it. They can't answer these questions. What is my purpose? What direction my life is going in? Who am I? Why do I exist? What's my identity? And I put them in there. I didn't put them in order, but yet still, if you stop and look at it, question, who am I? You know, what is my purpose? What direction is my life going in? Why do I exist? And what happens is when people start they can't answer those questions, and those questions are put there, and God put them in our heart, and they are there, because we rely on him, and they started relying on jobs and people and places and things and objects, and their lives got out of control. That's when you see the depression and the suicide and the addiction all comes into play, because they focusing on all this other stuff instead of looking to Jesus, instead of looking to God. Can't answer the question. People sitting there depressed, suicidal, and some commit suicide, homicidal, and some commit homicide, and some just plain give up and drop out and end up in addiction, and some of them just plain just become very ill and die of natural causes, looking for purpose, but looking everywhere else. Jobs, prestige, recognition, money, power, sex, alcohol, drugs. trying to answer those questions. What is my purpose? Why do I exist? And never looking at the fact in Ephesians, when we look into the Message Bible, in Ephesians chapter 1 in the Message Bible, we'll find it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. It's all in Christ. And then he goes on to say, long before we first heard of Christ, he had his eyes on us. Before the foundation of the earth, he had his eyes on us. So don't never say anything about anybody. And when you see people, I don't care what intellectual, if they're very intelligent or if they're not very intelligent, he had his eyes on us. God don't make no mistakes. God do not make mistakes. He said, well, I know this guy over there, and he has this learning disability. I know this guy over here that is very intelligent. I know this guy over here that going through so many different sicknesses and illnesses. What are you talking about? And there's people over here that don't have fathers and mothers, and they are by themselves and living in homes and things. But see, God knew about us. He had his sight on us. He had his design on us. And when we stop and look at it in Ephesians, he tells us that we are God workmanship. It's like a mosaic. You heard me say it before. It's like a mosaic. I woke up one day and I asked myself a question. I said, am I the ball or am I part of the picture? And then if you come and you ask and you'll come find yourself in the mosaic, even if you're on the ball, you're still a part of the picture, the ultimate plan. No matter where you're at, it's God mosaic, God handiwork, God masterpiece. And then he created his own masterpiece. And we are all important. No matter if you're on the border, you're a part of that picture that's coming out, because the picture still has to have a border. If he got you on the potter's wheel, and he's shaping you and he's molding you, and he's going to fire you and put you in the fire and fire you and take out all the draw. You're a God masterpiece. When God comes and he brings out a piece of stone and he chiseled it, and you feel the pain of the chisel and the master working on us, and we feel the pain, he is shaping us, and he brings us out. We are God designed. And he saw us before the foundation of the earth. He knew us. So as we walk this earth, there's no errors. There's no mistakes. There's no people that we can come and say things about, because it's totally inhumane. God purpose, God plan. God plan, God purpose. The question is, are you in God plan and purpose? But sometimes we go through life and we're not in God plan and purpose. I'm going to tell you that right now. Everybody's not in the plan. He created us for a purpose, but everybody's not in the plan, because when he created mankind, Adam and Eve was in total innocence. Total innocence. He put eternity in their heart, and they were there in total innocence. They had purpose. What's the purpose? He told them, be fruitful and multiply. He gave them dominion over everything, and he gave them everything they needed. When Jesus came and Jesus went to the cross, shed his precious blood on Calvary cross, reconciled us back to God, brought us back in right relationship with him, we accepted him as Lord and Savior. Some didn't, some rejected. And Peter writes that the stone that the builders rejected, it was the chief cornerstone. And some of us are still rejecting it. Some people are still rejecting it. They keep rejecting it. They keep throwing it back. They keep denying it. So everybody is not a part of the masterpiece. But everybody can be part of it. I mean, the whole world can be part of it. Because Jesus came. John 3:16, so for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes shall not perish, shall have everlasting life. Everybody can become one great big masterpiece, and God's shaping, and he's the workman, and he's creating this masterpiece. That would be something, wouldn't it? Because it's the motivations out of what? Love. We talk about it. We talk about that love. We talk about love. We talk about love from a perspective of eros. Never looking at agape, unconditional love. We love in one another. And caring for one another and sharing with one another. See, we talk about the love. We talk about the love. Every time something happens, every time some major disaster happens, we talk about the love. How we love one another, how we care for one another, how we come together in love. But then Joshua give us the question. What's Joshua's question? He said, first of all, fear God, give reverence to God. God is just. Then he said, you're going to have to choose for ourselves. Has the two options. We can't cut the two options out. Jesus said, you'll know that they are my disciples by the way they love one another. It's all about love. The greatest gift is love. But it's not just me saying love and walking away. Because love is caring, sharing, helping, and being there. Not only just one day, that's always love. Now, we can make songs about it, but then are you in the household of God? God is love. He's the source of all love. He's the source of all life. We'll see here in Ephesians, he tells us this, that God, that in Christ, he will find out who we are and what we are living for. It's all in Christ. It's in Christ. And that's where you'll find it. You must surrender your life and your will to the care of God, accepting and coming and accepting the plan of salvation. That plan that's been offered. God call, man responds. God call, man respond. So when God calls, do you hear the call? Are you responding to the call? Jesus said, follow me. He's still calling. Follow me. Follow me. But yet it's still God call. It's God call, and it's how we respond to the call. We can either accept it or reject it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He the whole world. But that doesn't mean that everybody accepted the call. And so as we come and we see here, he had his eyes on us. He had a design on us for glorious living, part of his overall purpose. This is Ephesians 1:11, part of his overall purpose. He's working out in everything and in everyone. God is working it out. Part of the overall purpose, God is working out in everything and in everyone. And focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life purpose. Focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life purpose. And I mentioned that to you earlier. Focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life purpose. That's right. Because in most cases, if we grow up through in society, we are focusing on our life self. We're focusing on how we're going to get ahead, what we're going to do. This is my plan, and I'm going to do this, and this is going to be the plan. I've seen very, very talented people that have a life that's mapped out in front of them, and then, boom, it's gone. It looks real good. You've seen it. We've all seen it. We've seen athletes that have very talented athletes, and they suffer injuries, and they suffer, and that career is gone. But that plan, can you imagine having that plan, and boom, it's gone. That talent, boom, it's gone. And you see great athletes. You see, I just pointed at athletes, but you see scientists. You see people. You see doctors and lawyers and everybody, sanitation workers. You see, and if we are focusing our attention on ourselves, we'll never reveal our life purpose. And that's why you have to be very careful when you got people telling you if you do this, you do that, God is going to do this, and he's going to do that. God put purpose in your life, but here's the formula. Here's the fact. Here's the force. Here's the fear. If you don't do this, then you're not going to have that success because he done put this purpose in you. And you're sitting there looking like, what's the purpose? Not looking at what Ephesians tell us real closely. It's all in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ that what we find out who we are and what we're living for. It's in Christ. And then we have to look at this fact that God is trustworthy. Joshua just told us that in Joshua 24:15. God is trustworthy. And it's easy to slip into a quiet rebellion, going your own way. But the time comes when you have to choose who or what will control you. Time is going to have to come. You're going to have to make a choice about who or what will control you. And see, and I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in the field of addiction. I've seen people say they're going through life, and then addiction is easy to talk about because you'll see the addiction controlling the person. The addiction is controlling the person. If the addiction is controlling the person, that individual have chosen the addiction to control them. Somebody say, "You mean to tell?" Yes, be in control. That's when. Do you remember when idols? When Joshua told him to put away the idols, those idol gods. I told you sometimes we think of idol gods. We think about these little things you put on the shelf. That addiction become an idol god. The addict thinks about it, planning, getting, and using all day long. Obsessive compulsive behavior all day long. And bow down to it and it's controlling. So at some point, I use it as an example. Somebody say, "Oh," when they hear about the addict, they say, "Oh, but I don't want you looking at the addict. I want you to stop and look. And look at yourself." And Paul said, "Let a man examine himself and see if he's in the faith." And when you examine yourself, you find that God is trustworthy. And it's easy to slip into a quiet rebellion, going about your own way. But the time comes when you have to choose who or what will control you. If you want looking at purpose, you're gonna have to choose who or what gonna control you. And Joshua was telling right here, telling him then, and he's telling us still today, we need to choose who we're gonna serve. Are we gonna serve God? Are we gonna serve man? Are we gonna serve God? Are we going to serve some item or some object, some person, some place or something? Everybody's being controlled by something. Don't think somebody said, "Well, everybody's being controlled by something." And most people think that they have control of something. And as we stop and look at it, we let go, we choose. And the question is, we talked about commitment. Have you made a commitment to God? Have you made a commitment to God? Have I made a commitment to God? And that commitment that we talked about was what? Once you make that commitment, you let go. Because out of the commitment, it takes courage. And that commitment takes courage. And we take courage. If we commit, we let go. We let go. When we let go, we surrender our lives, our will to God. Can't sit there and try to control it. And that's what Joshua was talking to us about, and that's what he was letting us know. At some point, we make that commitment. When Jesus speaks to us about seeking the kingdom, this is what he's talking about. He's telling us to seek the kingdom, and so to seek the kingdom first. And he's letting us know that worry keeps us from real challenges. Worry keep us from real challenges that God wants us to pursue. See, God has some things that he wants us to pursue. He wants us to pursue. And worry keep us from those real challenges that he wants us to pursue. That's why we keep seeking him first. And he's guiding us by the Spirit and those things that he wants us to do. When he says to seek the kingdom and his righteousness, this means that we turn to God first for help to fill our thoughts with his desires. We turn to God first for help to fill thoughts with his desires, to take his character for our pattern. That's when we talk about seeking the kingdom first. It's not just saying seeking the kingdom first. Seeking the kingdom first is saying this. He's going to help to fill our thoughts with his desires, and he'll give us the desires of our heart. Take his character for our pattern to serve and obey him in everything. So when you say seek ye the kingdom first, you're saying a lot. You're saying that you're going to take on his thoughts. Asking God to help you fill his thoughts, fill our thoughts with his desires. I'm sorry, fill our thoughts with his desires and take on his character for our pattern and to serve and obey him and everything. That's what seek the kingdom first means. So we're seeking after him. And the question comes again, what is really important to you? What's most important? And that is the question. We're talking about seeking the kingdom, and Joshua brought it out to choose this day. What's most important? People, objects, goals, and others, you know, what's most important? Because we have a lot of things going on in our lives, but we'd be so busy, just losing track of everything, losing track of all kinds of things, you know. So many distractions going on, so much pressure. What's most important? What's most important? People, objects, goals, and others. They all compete for priority. And any of these can quickly become most important to you if you don't really actively choose to give God first place in every areas of your life. And sometimes people say, no, we be in church, and we say, no, God first, God first, God first. And what happened is objects, people, places, things, goals can easily and quickly become most important. And watch the priority, because there's a priority there. There is a priority in our lives. Whether it's the first, second, third, fourth, we have a priority of things that we look at. I've said, and I talked to many days, and I said, people choose what's the most important. And you can be sitting back and you think, like, well, you know, people are going to do what they deem most important. And that's what they do. And then we come, we say, well, I put God first. If God first, then God is number one. And that's what the success comes when God is number one. All these other things fall in place. Seeking the kingdom first. Not people, objects, goals, and other things. See, somebody said, well, are you telling me not to plan? No. Planning. We plan. We plan for tomorrow. The Proverbs tell us that. We plan for tomorrow. And, planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Time well spent. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. But worrying is time wasted. Worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, that's what Jesus is telling us. But God first. Worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. But planning, it's okay to plan. But it's a very thin line, though. A very thin line. It's a very thin line. And see, and that's what it is. See, sometimes we see planning and worry as the flip side of the coin. Very thin line. And we trust God for guidance. We're going to trust God for guidance. Because when we look at John 4:34, we see what Jesus tells us. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. He talked about that spiritual nourishment. And we must have a desire. In Acts 20:24, we have a desire to please God. A desire to please God. And when we say, thy will be done, we have a desire to please God. A desire to please him and do his will. And I think we have to look at that question. What's most important to you? And what you get out of life, you have to look at this. What you get out of life or what you put into it. What's most important? What you get out of it or what you put into it. And that's what the question. Now I'm going to leave you with that question. What's most important to you? What you get out of life or what you put into it. Because Jesus said he didn't come just to be served, but he came to serve, give life as a ransom. This is Reverend Frank Dawson, the President, Minister of Word Evangelism. We thank you for joining us. God bless. Mm-hmm.